SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Oh yeah, it's level two. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust up and everybody else in between throwing it down. Sirius XM channel 159. A lot of love in our chat tonight. We appreciate the kind words. What's up, Jose? Jose Rodriguez. Yeah, we threw it down with Jose before. We look forward to seeing you again. We'll have our anniversary show. We're going to have another party. And hopefully we do see you at the football game as well. We're going to see Tony Finn. I know Tony's going to the game because he'll be betting on all the games and stuff. But next week we'll be at the Raiders and the Colts game as well. We'll be in Vegas. Got some super contest business to handle. And, you know, we'll just take the Raider and the Colt game. They both suck so much, the ticket prices will go down at least. I guess that's the benefit of it. As long as we pick winners. Got a CFL playoffs this week. We're riding, CFL playoffs, Tony. I'll send you my picks.
Yeah.
Okay. They're tough, though. Like, both, put it this way, just tease both games. Both games going to come down to the wire, I guarantee it. Neither game will be a blowout. I'm going to the game on Sunday, the BC Lions and the Calgary Stampeders, BC Place.
BC's a good team.
So are Calgary, but I think BC are 1.5-point favorites, Tony. Their quarterback got hurt, but he came back last week. So basically their star quarterback was out for like 2 months, BC.
Right.
But they had such a good record and they were good enough. Like they went 8-1 without him and 8-1 with him and 4-4 without him type thing. So they were five, which is pretty good. They were 500 without him, and then and they played some bad guys. Like they signed a guy finally that was good, but like anyways, my point is he got a game under his belt last week coming back from the return, and from what I'm hearing, it's night and day. You know, it was his first game back after surgery and stuff. Now he's got a game under his belt. He's practicing all week, so he's going to be a lot better. It's going to be a fun game. Should be points put up on the board on Sunday between Calgary and BC. Total 50.5. Yeah. I would expect there to be points in that game. It's in a dome, too, Tony, so weather's not a factor.
Well, yeah, that's good. A lot of weather. Listen, a lot of weather games this weekend in college. I haven't even released. When we get done here, I'll be up all night making
a lot of weather games in college, yeah.
Yes, making some executive decisions on, where to push in and where to stay away from.
Executive. All right, so let's see. I'm looking it up here today. College football weather. College football weather.
Yeah.
Like you said, like wind, like Tony said, I don't care about rain, but now we're starting to get to the time of the year where wind, I guess wind is a concern, Tony, right? You got to keep your eye on
that. Yes, it is. It's a concern if you're a passing team. Especially, and if you're a total player, then you want to see 30-mile-an-hour winds. You would like to see them. Listen, you'd like to see them across the field, not necessarily the length of the field. Across the field makes it really difficult to throw any ball that has 20 air yards is difficult to complete for a college quarterback. Now, for the pros, a little bit different. They can handle 20, 25-mile-an-hour winds. Not these college kids, not most of them.
A windy game tomorrow is Notre Dame. I'm seeing 20-mile-an-hour winds tomorrow night in South Bend.
That's right.
Yeah. No. All right, hold on, Tony. Here we go.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Level two, this is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci, the pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust up, and everybody else in between. We're throwing it down. Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates, the Mightier 1090, ESPN Radio, the 50,000-watt juggernaut. What's up, SoCal? 97.1 The Freak in Dallas, Texas. Speaking of freaks, we got Tony Finn kick with us. John Marks will join us from Philadelphia, WIP Radio, in a couple of moments as well. We've got Brent Beard. We're talking college football with Brent, Heisman Trophy voter. Brent Beard covers the SEC, First Coast News, Jacksonville, Florida. We'll step up and then kick it with us. We got Tony Finn right now. In the next segment, Tony, we'll get you out after the next segment. But the next segment, we'll get into the World Series and NFL football. Last words on college football. If you want to share a game, we talked about the big-time games. Maybe there's not another sort of high-profile game or If you, you know, what are your best bets in college football you want to share with us here?
Nothing high profile, but I will say that I'm on Cincinnati this weekend. Navy's, TL quarterback got hurt, and that's a big deal for Navy. Cincinnati's laying a big number. In fact, it's come back a little bit. They opened 21, it's about 18 and a half, 19, but Cincinnati is going to play this game angry, and I think they win by 30-plus points over a Navy team that has no quarterback. That said, I like Minnesota over Nebraska. I haven't got final word on their quarterback, but I think Nebraska is going to move without their starting quarterback, and that's why this line is as steep as it is, Casey Thompson. And if you watched them last week, Gabe, without him, without Thompson, this team looked horrible. I mean, horrible. And Minnesota has huge, huge, huge advantages in yards per play margins. We're looking at like a top 25 team against a barely under 100. So lay the wood with Minnesota.
It's the wood that makes it good. The Beavers have scored a touchdown. They're now up 21-14 late in the third quarter in Seattle. 21-14.
Wow.
Nice run. They went in the Wildcat. The running back took it in the Wildcat.
Mm-hmm.
And
they
brought
it so bad against Stanford. Yeah,
I know.
I was all over my Stanford game, and they just when that game really soured me on them, and it shouldn't. That's not the way I usually am, but they just didn't.
Tony Finn with us for a couple more moments. All right, on the other side, we'll get Tony's thoughts on the World Series Game 6 in H-Town. The Mattress Mac Special. Talk some NFL football. This is Sports Rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Late Night Anger Management Class, this is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. 26-19, England in the 71st minute. We're looking to cash a ticket, plus 17.5. That's the good news. The bad news is we're on the Washington Huskies on the money line. So I need the win for the Washington Huskies. And they're down 21-14 going into the fourth quarter. A lot of football left still, but that was a big touchdown. They've been a step ahead. They've been a touchdown ahead pretty much the whole game here. New win game total is 49.5. We've got a couple of more minutes with Tony Finn. Follow him on Twitter, Tony Finn Wager Talk, as well as wagertalk.com. So, Tony, World Series, Game 6, Saturday night, Valdez versus Wheeler. Updated number right now at FanDuel. Astros minus 148. And I tell you what, there's, in other words, some sevens out there, Tony, as far as the total is concerned. FanDuel just threw a 6.5 up on the board, actually. Overs minus 128, 6.5. Wheeler versus Valdez, what's your take?
My take is if it's going to go over, it's going to be because Houston scores a lot of runs. Valdez is just, he's in such a tunnel right now. The only thing you can see is the umpire, raising his right hand, calling strikes or ground balls to a pretty good defensive team in infield. So
and I agree with you again. This is crazy. We agree that you ain't hitting Valdez. Maybe he gives up a run, maybe two.
Yep.
And then conversely, I think it goes over because I wouldn't be surprised. The way I see it, I think Houston are going to score real early and they're going to take all the air out of Philadelphia right away. It's going to be like 5-0 right away type thing.
Well, if they score early, it's game, set, match. And we weren't on the air. We didn't talk. But when Houston lost game 3, and they were down 2-1, for instance, you were able to get Houston in a serious price at plus money, plus 130.
Yeah, plus 130.
In that area. Yes, and I grabbed them thinking, because I knew if they win game 2, there's going to be minus 170, minus 180. Hell, it was minus 2 and change. So I'm one of those that is heavily on Houston. And I don't believe that Fran Bears is going to win because I have money on them. He's just the better pitcher tomorrow. Wheeler's not right. Wheeler, he came back from the IL stint really good. I mean, really, really good. But you saw that he couldn't command. If he's not commanding that slider of his on the outside corner against right-handed hitters, then he's in trouble. And he was in trouble the last time he pitched against Houston, and I don't see that being any different, even on regular rest.
I agree with everything that Tony Finn is saying. So get this, Tony. I'm sitting in some nice spots here as well. Most sane people would hedge, but I'm not. I'm even going to load up on Houston. I think they're going to roll. So I got Houston to win the World Series at plus 350 2 months ago, whatever. So I'm sitting on that. I've got Houston minus 1.5 game series handicap, series spread.
Very nice.
Minus 1.5. Yeah. So in other words, I need to win this game in six. I've got the Houston Astros specifically to win the World Series in six games at plus 350. So I'm coming into this with the Astros to win the World Series at plus 350. Astros in six at plus 350. Astros minus 1.5 at minus 115. Actually, I got it at plus money, actually. The number flipped, actually, in the book. I got plus 110. Plus 110. And I'm sitting on a Jeremy Pena at 18-1 to be the MVP, and he's a runaway favorite right now. I don't know why he's a runaway favorite, but he is right now. But I think Valdez is a dark horse to come in and steal the MVP potentially if he goes 2-0 and he's on the hill for the clinching game. And I talked about this before the series started. Last I checked, he was 11-1, Tony. Let me get an update right now on Valdez. But what do you think about how it plays out? And let's see. Oh, Valdez is now 7-1. Pena is minus 105. Valdez, 7-1.
Pena has to do is get an RBI, have a hit early that brings a run in, or one late, and he's your MVP. If he does nothing tomorrow and Valdez is lights out, then it's possible that you're probably wishing you had that 11-1 or that 7-1 for that matter. I would agree with you 100%.
All right. So it sounds like we're in agreement that Houston's going to end this thing tomorrow. I think so.
I do.
Philadelphia let them off the hook. Listen, they had their chance.
Yeah, they absolutely did. And if you like Houston like you and I like Houston, then and those are listening, you might consider one of the things. I've already released it, and that was, and I got a little bit. I was upset a couple nights in a row because I had minus 1.5, not in the last game, but when it ended up being 3-2. But run that they gave up was murderous, right? But here tomorrow, minus 2.5. I'm big on minus 2.5 with Houston tomorrow at plus 250.
Bold, Tony. I like your boldness because I was just going to say, I agree. I don't think it's a one-run game tomorrow. I kind of see it being like Philadelphia's going to hit the wall and realize we're screwed. They're going to be down 5-2 or 6-2 or something. The party's going to start in Houston. So that's my opinion. And listen, guys, a pretty nice number, actually. Houston Astros minus 1.5 runs, plus 155 right now. That's the FanDuel number. That's a good number to win by two, plus 155.
2.5. I got 245.
Let's see. I'll see what else they have here.
And I'll see what it is now, too.
Alternate, run line, alternate, money line, alternate. So let me get the, let's see what numbers we can call. Here we go. Alternate run lines.
245. Still 245. Minus 2.5, 245. At the book I'm looking at.
Yeah, you know what? FanDuel, I'm looking right now, plus 240. So they actually have a nice number, actually, at plus 155. That's, you know what I mean? For 1.5, it's a pretty nice price. I would jump on that, guys, if you can get it. And let me see what I get, because each state and province and everything is different, and the Washington Huskies have scored, Tony.
My goodness gracious. That I thought.
What did I tell you, buddy? I said this thing's going to open up, man.
Yeah. There's 11 minutes left in this game, too.
Suddenly, bro, that the total's 52.5. It's right back to getting I'm on Washington on the under. I better not lose both. I'll take one or the other, Tony. I'll tell you.
Yeah. I don't like that under 29.5 all of a sudden. Now that I told you a few minutes ago, I wish I'd been on it now.
I would have jumped on the over, but I was already on the under the game. But I'm like, nah, I wouldn't be surprised. There's a bunch of points late here now.
Yep.
We're up to 42. Okay, so listen, Tony. We got a couple of minutes left here. NFL football. Okay. What catches your eye this week in the National Football League?
Oh, there's a lot that catch my eye. A lot went surprising. You spoke about this Indianapolis team is a mess, right? I don't like laying 6 with New England, but I will lay 6, 5.5 at Gillette. I will do it tomorrow because This is a game that I don't think Belichick has to be very good at. I think they're going to run the ball, and they're going to run right down the field in Indianapolis. You lay the points with the Pats at home. Miami, Chicago. Listen, Chicago opened up. Their front office opened the windows, screamed, "We give up, but we're going to be better for it in the future." They basically hedged. They leveraged what they had for today, for tomorrow. They gave up two key pieces of their defense. And if the wind's not too much in Miami tomorrow, and I think it's going to be okay, Miami wins this by double digits. And finally, it's the Green Bay ship has sunk, in my opinion. And you maybe may call me crazy for playing Detroit plus a field goal and a hook, because they're the worst defense maybe in the NFL, but I'm not so sure.
You think that lowly of the Packers?
I do. I think that lowly of where the Packers are right now. The fact that they're only giving 3.5 speaks to what I believe.
Yeah, you know, it's a tricky game, that game. Normally, I bet on Detroit a lot. It's one thing, yep. I can say I'm not proud of it, but whatever. I was smart enough this year. I've sort of backed off. I didn't like them. I didn't like their hard knocks thing. I don't like Dan Campbell.
Yeah.
I think they're not going to be good until he goes. It's as simple as that. Like, he's worse than Matt Patricia, which is hard to do.
Yeah.
No, think about it. Matt Patricia sucks.
Right. Oh, you're right.
Chicken wing. Yeah. An eating chicken wing is a better coach than Matt Patricia, which I think he has one stuck in his beard. Tony Finn, Wager Talk. John Marks, WIP next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sports Rage Late Night continues. I am Gabe Omaretsi, Sirius XM Channel 159, Sports Grid Radio Network. Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates, including a mightier 1090 ESPN Radio, the 50,000-watt juggernaut. World Series Game 6 is set Saturday night in H-Town. Let's send it to Philadelphia right now. John Marks from WIP and CBS Sports Radio steps up. And then, John, it's always a pleasure, man. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us. I know you're busy. There's a hell of a lot of stuff going on in Philadelphia. How you doing tonight?
Oh, man, it'd be better if the Phillies found a way to win that game last night, but they didn't, and they need two more in Houston, and we'll see what happens.
So listen, man, you know, Philadelphia is all about Rocky and all that type of stuff, so they're up against the ropes. How do you feel about giving the ball to Wheeler? How do you feel about the Phillies' chances on Saturday night?
Wheeler's velocity is down. He was pushed back because of fatigue. A lot of what Wheeler does is he commands and locates with his fastball. It's his bread and butter. When the velocity's down, he's not as effective. When location's down, he's obviously not as effective. He had this before the end of the regular season, like the beginning of September. They actually DL'd him. He had elbow tendonitis, and I think it was a lot of the same things that were going on right now. We saw his velocity go down 4 or 5 miles an hour, which is a problem. So how do I feel about him coming into the start? They pushed him back a couple days to give him some more rest. I feel like he needs to go 2 or 3 or 4 innings, and if that's what he can give them and he can keep the Astros off the board or even limit them to similar to what Syndergaard did last night, then we're in pretty good shape. Bottom line, Gabe, is these bats have to show up, man. You know, like the Schwarbers and the Harpers and the Castellanos and the Reese Hoskins. You know, they got no hit 2 games ago, and then last night, ton of runners in scoring positions, ton of opportunities, and they didn't get it done. So Zach Wheeler isn't going to have a shut-him-down, Curt Schilling-type World Series game. He's just not going to. He needs to keep him in the game, and the bats need to take over.
And the guy that the Philadelphia Phillies are pitching, arguably the most consistent pitcher in baseball, right? I mean, you kind of know what you're going to get from Valdez. He's going to give you 6 innings. He's going to give you 7 innings, and he's not going to give up more than a run or two. I don't believe in momentum in the playoffs. And I know you've been around a long time, John. I've spoken to a ton of athletes over the years about this. And in the playoffs, they say, hey, one game to the next really doesn't carry over. And I think that's sort of been proven in this series. Look, one night the Phillies hit 5 home runs. The next night, they get no hit. So I can't really say the Astros have momentum, but it's almost like a UFC fight right now where the Astros are starting to rack up the round victories. You know what I mean? Or a boxing match. Yeah, it just seems to me that Houston's just a step ahead. And also the baseball gods, a lot of it is luck. I mean, come on, man. How much harder could Schwarber could have hit that ball right at Mancini, bro? You know what I mean? It's just the baseball gods.
Yeah, I agree with you with the sort of the accumulation of punches and rounds and things like that. It's a good way to describe it. Yeah, like the Phillies have taken some shots. The Astros have taken some shots. But right now it feels like the Astros are one body blow or one power punch away from knocking the Phillies out, and they are. They need one of two in Houston. But, I mean, as far as where they are in the series, I mean, it's not like that the Astros have been dominant. I know they threw a new hit and a no-hitter, but there were plenty of opportunities for the Phillies to win that game last night. And you mentioned the Schwarber hit in the ninth inning where McCormick climbs up the wall and smashes into the wall and makes that catch off of JT Realmuto. There were so many different things that could have happened last night that could have changed the fortunes of the Phillies. And you mentioned Framber Valdez. He was really, really good in his last World Series start. And here's what I'm hoping as a Phillies fan is that they learned and they reviewed, and seeing him again just a couple days later, because really what he was doing was he was neutralizing the left-handed hitters being a left-handed starter. The right-handed batters need to take advantage of that. And his slider was so sharp. His breaking ball was so sharp. He was getting a ton of swing and misses and a ton of strikeouts against right-handed hitters. So the right-handed hitters really need to take advantage, and they need to do a much, much better job. I don't know how they do that. Or do they lay off the two strikes, and he's throwing that curveball or that breaking ball, and it's sharp, and they're getting swings and misses. You hope that maybe he's not as effective, and you hope that the Phillies batters, in particular the right-handed batters, do a much better job this time around.
John Marks joining us from Philadelphia. John, I noted earlier in the week on the program, I've never seen a crowd as passionate and as into a baseball game as I saw with the Philadelphia Phillies this past week. Now, when they're fans, specifically, the five home run game was obviously going to be, a memorable night forever. But, man, Philly fan have just taken it to the next level. I know the last couple of nights were tough, with the type of games that they were. But, I mean, these fans hung in there. They were there until the final. The final out, not giving up. I've been incredibly impressed. I know people say a lot of things, and they threw batteries at Santa Claus and all this type of stuff, right? There's always that sort of Philly sport, not like a stereotype, so to speak. But, man, when I'm watching this stuff, I can feel the passion and electricity. Talk to me about the passion that the fans have brought to the park this week.
Yeah, I think you can really feel it when you watch a game, and the team definitely was feeding off of it. Now, the last two nights they didn't get a hit, and they only scored two runs last night. So, it's not as easy as the fans not be, it's just being loud. But
it's torture, isn't it, too, John? Sitting like I'm a Dodger fan, so I was at the 1-0 game last year in the playoffs in the Windy game, and it was the same type of thing. They're down 1-0. Lux hits a ball deep. It would have cleared it any other night, but because it was the one night in the history of the world that it was windy at Dodger Stadium, it didn't clear. But being in a stadium and your team is down by a run and you're a baseball fan, it's freaking torture, bro. It's excruciating.
Yeah, and the Phillies hadn't been in the playoffs since 2011, and you forget what that playoff anxiety feels like, right? Over a decade of not having playoff baseball, and it comes rushing back to you. The Phillies won the division from 07 to 11, won the NFC East from 07 to 11, went to two World Series, 1-1, and the anxiety's back, and I had it last night. I mean, I had four seats in the outfield to the no-hit game, unfortunately. You never felt like the Phillies were really in that game, right? Like they scored five runs in the fifth inning, and they were no-hit, so it never felt like they were really going to have much of a shot there. So that game was kind of like whatever. But some of these other games, like last night in the ninth inning, in the eighth inning where they had runners on base all last night, and they couldn't do much. 2-for-20 with runners on last night. So fans have done a great job. Let's just hope we can get another win or so.
All right, John, so before we get you out of here, man, there's been a revival of sports in Philadelphia with the exception of the Sixers, of course. But as far as the Philadelphia Eagles are concerned, man, they almost feel like a college football team to me in the sense that it's like, all right, they're going to win their conference and they're going to be in the playoff. You know what I mean? The college football playoff. And then we'll find out how good they are. I think they're really good. but I, you know what I mean? Are they Buffalo good? Are they Kansas City good? Are they that elite of the National Football League good? Or the are they the elite of the NFC good? How good are they in your opinion? Are they Super Bowl good in your opinion, Eagles?
Yeah, I think they can be, and I think you have a pretty good read on the situation, because if you look at their remaining schedule, they're gonna win 13 games by accident, right? Like, anybody go look at the Philadelphia Eagles schedule for the rest of the year and find me three losses, right? Like, you're really trying. They'll lose a game or two, right? Just because it's the NFL and that's going to happen. And I actually would like for them to lose a game or two. I don't want this talk of undefeated going anywhere. But, yeah, they're going to be the number one seed in the conference. They're going to get home field advantage. Gabe, the one thing that I worry about is not being tested. And not really being tested, right? Like, kind of having, you know that you're going to win the conference, or you know you're going to win, you're going to be the first seed. You know that you have, when are you tested? Like, are you really playing hard games down the stretch? You may get a Tampa Bay team that figures it out and has, like, four or five really tough, we need to win out to make the playoffs.
Yep.
And that's the last team you want to face in the playoffs, is a team that's already tough, has a good defense, and they've been coming down the stretch. So I do worry about who they play. Matchups-wise, if they get a good matchup, they could very easily walk to the Super Bowl. If they get a Tampa Bay team at home in their first home game, or in the NFC Championship game, or a Rams or a team like that that figures it out, it could be a tough game. So I think the Eagles are really good. But number one seeds lose all the time at home in the playoffs, so you worry about that. You worry about being tested towards the end. But Jalen Hurts is having a breakout year. Their defense is very good. A.J. Brown's amazing. They're a really, really talented team top to bottom, and they're going to be the number one seed. It's a matter of what happens in the playoffs.
I swear to God, John, and we'll get you out of here in a minute or so here. It really reminds me of the year that they won the Super Bowl during the regular season, which I kind of thought the same thing. I think this team's actually better than that team, as crazy as it sounds, like regular season-wise, at least, I'm saying. But then it was like, well, I don't know if they're amazing, but they're going to have home field advantage. And I almost have a vision of the Minnesota Vikings coming to town again, which I'm sure you guys would like, because you know how it always works out for the Vikings. I would say this, John, to me, I would say San Francisco's the one team that I'd be like, all right, those guys dialed up in a playoff game, the way they could run the football, could really give Philadelphia all that they could handle. But if somebody, man, had bet on Buffalo to have the regular season win record, the Eagles are really starting to upset me. I'll be honest. I bet them to win a division, John, but I didn't think they were going to be this good. So finally, in closing on the way out here, MLS Cup, Philadelphia's in Los Angeles. What's the feel? What's your prediction? LA are the favorites, but Philadelphia's a great side. What's your quick take? What's the feeling for people you talk to about the MLS Cup?
That I have no idea. We're rooting on them, but I mean, it's the pecking order is Eagles and Phillies in this town, and one in the World Series, and
well, then the Flyers, and then Temple, and then the Union.
But I mean, honestly, we kind of felt bad about it because it's like they deserve.
The timing's bad, isn't it? That they're playing on the same day as the World Series and everything.
I mean, it's terrible. If Phillies aren't in the World Series and the Eagles are just kind of going through the regular season, we're able to take some days and be like, let's really enjoy this. This is cool. But as it stands, it's like we try to give them a shout out because it's a Philly team, but that's about it.
We're degenerate gamblers here, so I know about everything, but John, I totally get it. It's like, yeah, I hope they do well, but I got bigger problems right now, man. The Phillies are in the freaking World Series with their backs against the wall. Hey, John, WIP Radio, always a pleasure, my man. Thanks a lot for taking time to be with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Dallas, Fort Worth, let's do this thing. Horned Frogs and the Red Raiders. We've got a massive weekend of college football. Separation Saturday is here. Let's bring in our college of football insider and analyst, Brent Beard, First Coast News, Heisman Trophy voter, joins us from Jacksonville, Florida. Brent, let's do this thing. It's game of the century and more this weekend. How you doing, my man? Always a pleasure.
Yeah, absolutely, Gabe. Obviously, Georgia, Tennessee, Alabama, LSU, Arkansas, Liberty is important, Florida A&M, and listen, even South Carolina, Vanderbilt. So we've got championships, divisional titles, and bowl games and winning records on the line this week for the SEC, don't we, Gabe?
I tell you what, that Florida Gator win against the Utah Utes seems like it was in another lifetime, let alone in this season, the way things are going in Gainesville right now. And speaking of Gainesville, college basketball tips off, Brent, on Monday. College basketball is your Stony Brook and the Florida Gators. So let's get into the Georgia Bulldogs and the Tennessee Volunteers. The Georgia Bulldogs have won the past five meetings between these two football teams. Clearly, this is a different Tennessee team. They lead the nation in scoring offense at 49.4 points per game. Georgia's offense has always been better than people realize. Yes. It was better last year. And even though Stetson Bennett, I know it's not the explosive offense or as flashy as some of these other schools, but they're still tied for sixth in scoring in the nation at 41.8 points per game. And, oh, yeah, Georgia only give up 10.5 points per game. This is an awesome matchup, Brent. What are your thoughts? What are the keys? Who do you like?
Well, I like Georgia, frankly, and not just because it's home. I think Georgia's had more experience in games like this. I think Tennessee struggles covering the tight end, and Brock Bowers and the Washington kid are going to be very difficult for them. Gabe, here's a stat that frankly is unbelievable. I know Hendon Hooker's been incredible. He's probably everybody's Heisman choice right now or at the top. But believe it or not, Hooker has 11 yards less passing than Stetson Bennett. Stetson Bennett has more yards passing than Hooker. They're both 25 years old. Gabe,
that really is insane, isn't it? Brent, no one would think that if you walked into a bar and said, who has more passing yards this year?
Yes.
Stetson Bennett or Hendon Hooker. Hendon Hooker has 2,338. Bennett's got 2,349.
That's stunning, isn't it, Gabe? And listen, both these guys, our listeners may not realize this, they're both 25 years old. Gabe, I've been covering this league since the early 90s and been watching it since then. You may have, but I don't ever remember in a big game like this having two quarterbacks in the league that are both 25 years old. Do you?
Combined 50 years old. No. Not unless a game that Chris Wenke was part of years ago with Florida State, right? Hey, the best line ever, Brent, was Chris Wenke. He said, I'm so old, I go on double dates with my teammates. I go out with the mother or they go out with the daughter. But that's unbelievable, isn't it?
It is.
That 50 years old combined age. I was going to say, Brent, so in other words, they're our peers. Well, you know, they're pretty much the same age as us.
But look, I like in Las Vegas. Vegas likes Georgia in this game. Now, I do think Nolan Smith, his loss, the outside linebacker, is tough for Georgia. But Robert Beal replaces him. But one thing I've learned from you is Vegas knows stuff that we don't know, Gabe.
Exactly. Right? People say, well, I can't believe they're laying 8.5. Well, okay, you go take the 8.5 and see how it works out for you.
Yeah.
They laid the number for a reason. I'll tell you, everybody in the betting world likes Tennessee plus the points.
Yes.
They all say, it's going to be close. It's going to be close. Let me ask you, Brent, because Kirby Smart is a lot like Coach Saban. Basically, all these SEC guys, they're all very thin-skinned, number one. Yep. But they all... Like, they could be 18-point favorites in a game, and they will sell it to their kids if they're underdogs. You know what I mean? Nobody believes in us. I remember last year when Alabama beat Cincinnati. It was Will Anderson said, nobody believed in us, man. We just shocked the world. I'm like, you were 14-point favorites. Like, you're two touchdown favorites. But don't tell me that the kids on Georgia and that the Georgia staff didn't raise their eyebrows and say what? We're ranked number three, and they're ranked number one? Don't tell me that's not like bulletin board material with a capital B.
Well, Kirby won't say anything about it, but you know good and well that's posted all over the football offices without a doubt. And the other thing is Georgia, that they are getting Jalen Carter back, the defensive lineman who's one of the best in the league. And listen, they've had people say, oh, Georgia lost all these people. They don't have anybody to replace him. Well, they do because guys like Malachi Starks in the secondary is an All-American at safety. So, Gabe, you follow this like I have. They've had one, two, or three recruiting classes the last 5 years. Games like this is where it comes fruition with Georgia. Now, look, We're not we're not saying Tennessee can't win because they can. They've got elite quarterback, elite receivers. But I'm just saying they don't have an elite defense, and I think this is one of those times to where Georgia can run the ball, control the clock. That's going to make a difference in this game.
And Hendon Hooker's had an amazing season, 21 touchdowns, just one interception. But I'm calling it. He's going to throw a pick. It's going to be a rougher time. This is the toughest defense that they've faced, and it's an angry defense. And as Brent just mentioned, Jalen Carter's going to be back. And, you know, come on, man. You don't think the Georgia Bulldogs are frothing at the mouth right now? And, Brent, listen, not my words. You're a classy individual, but you got to love how nasty it gets in the SEC. And I got a tweet from a Georgia Bulldog fan today, and he told me, he said, hey, listen, there's only one hooker in Tennessee. The rest are volunteers. It's not bad. Brett, not bad. Yeah, pretty great.
Yeah. A for effort on that one, yes.
This is great stuff. Can't wait. Okay, Brent. So also great stuff, and it's also sort of an eliminator here in a way, and it kind of flew under the radar that the LSU Tigers are ranked 10th in the college football rankings. And Alabama ranked 6th. So, in other words, there's not a lot of difference between the two here right now. This is a massive football game for both programs. LSU have racked up 90 points over their last two games, 45 against Florida, and then another 45 spot against previously unbeaten Ole Miss. And we know how good Bryce Young is, guys. So, you know, Bryce Young has completed 66% of his passes for 1,906 yards, 18 touchdowns, and 3 interceptions. Well, how's Jalen Daniels doing? Well, he's completed 69.9% of his passes for 1,812 yards, 12 touchdowns, 1 interception on the season. He's ranked 6th in the SEC and 40th nationally in efficiency at 150.3, right behind Young at 162.7. You know, full disclosure, and I think you feel the same way, Brent, I got to tip my cap to this kid. We both had our questions about how he performed in the SEC coming from Arizona State and, quite frankly, a mid-tier Pac-12 football team. And not only is he playing well, he's thriving and lighting it up, Brett. This is a fun football game. The oddsmakers have the Crimson Tide as 13.5-point favorites. I think the spread's too high. I think LSU can hang in this game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do, too. I mean, Daniels is played so well, and he's a reason for their resurgence. Brian Kelly knows how to coach, doesn't he, Gabe? Look, if you can break Newt Rockne's record, you can coach. But, Daniels is in the top 10 in the league in rushing. That's how good he's playing right now, but he's become more of a passer. Now, two things to look for in this game. Number one, LSU's strength is their wide receivers. They've got, with the booty kid, Malik Nabers, for instance, they've got as good of they come close to Tennessee's receivers, frankly. Now, LSU's weakness, and this is per their beat writers, is their secondary.
Yes, sir.
So the question is, can Alabama's secondary hang with the LSU wide receivers and get pressure on Daniels?
I don't think they can.
But here's the reverse of that. Can Alabama, with a rested now Bryce Young and some, pardon the pun, young receivers, how are they going to do against the LSU secondary?
Can they exploit it? It feels like a track meet, doesn't it, Brent? Doesn't it feel like this is going to be a high-scoring football game?
I think it very well could be. Now, another thing is, weather's going through Baton Rouge tomorrow, so people need to pay attention to this. What I hear is, from the beat writers, is the weather probably will be over around 5 o'clock. Now, the game is a couple hours after that. Will that make a difference? We don't know. But, and again, the Alabama has had more of these games than LSU. LSU's offensive line, they're banged up. Can they protect Jaden Daniels? And I think the question here is, this is a put-up-or-shut-up game for Alabama, isn't it, Gabe? If they're going to be the team they think they are, and people think they are,
this is the last benefit of the doubt game they get. You know what I'm saying? Everybody gives the benefit of the doubt all the time. This is it. This is it.
Right. And look, they've got two huge games with LSU next week with Ole Miss. If they win both those games, I think they'll win the West. I think they'll be in the SEC championship game. But again, Gabe, I come back to this. Now, I agree with you. The point spread's too high. But again, what does Vegas know about Bama at least being a touchdown better? How about that, Gabe?
Yeah, I know. They're tempting. It's called a trap, man. You know what I mean? As we as gamblers, I'm almost like, you know, like the pro fishing tour.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, I'm one of the fish. They rope us in with these numbers. They're like, that's the bait, right? Hey, look, we're giving you 13.5 points, man. Right? Don't you want it? It's the same thing with Tennessee. Don't you want the 8.5?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Let me ask you, Brent, and we got about a minute and a half left here or so. I don't really get up in arms about the playoff rankings. Because number one, listen, the first rankings are never the last rankings anyways.
Right.
And
right.
If you look, it's almost like a fighter worrying about fighting a fighter that he's not fighting. You know what I mean? I'm going to get this guy after I beat this guy. So as a Michigan guy, I can't start complaining about, oh, we're fifth. Don't worry about it. Worry about Illinois. Worry about Rutgers.
That's
you know what I mean? Worry about Ohio State. Same with TCU. It's like, yeah, you don't like it. Worry about Texas Tech. Beat Texas next week and then come back to us and talk. And don't worry, you'll be higher in the rankings. Too early to panic, right? What were your thoughts on the opening rankings and what I said on the way out? We got about a minute here.
I agree with you 1,000% on this, but people worry about this. It means nothing, frankly. I mean, you've got to have a guy to go by. But like we said against Alabama, if they win out, they're in the playoffs. If TCU wins out, they're in the playoffs. If Michigan wins out, now I'll say this, if somehow Michigan stubs their toe and beats Ohio State, frankly, I think they'll be in the playoffs with that. So, no, take the, you know, you got to have something to go by. I get it. But take the first week with a grain of salt. Yes.
One thing I will say with the grain of salt, and it's a lifeline to the Pac-12, they have a pathway there.
They do.
You know what I mean? That's one thing that's an interesting dynamic.
I swear
I think Clemson's overrated personally, but it is what it is. And, you know what I mean? We've got to give Dabo the benefit of the doubt, and that's what it seems like they do due to the pedigree. Brent, you're the best, my man. It's always a pleasure. Time always flies when we talk football.
Big, big weekend, Gabe. Can't wait, and we'll be talking about it next week, too.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Thanks to Brent Beard for kicking with us. Shout out to our boy John Marks in Philadelphia as well. Rob Bino will join us from Philadelphia too in Level 3. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci, quickest Hunter Namens in sports talk radio. Man, we got just an awesome day of college football tomorrow. Love college football, especially at this time of the year. We don't need all this big-time expanded playoffs and all this. This is what these games are about, man. Right? This is what Clemson and Notre Dame is about tomorrow night. This is what LSU and Alabama are about tomorrow. This is what Georgia and Tennessee is about. This is what Texas Tech and TCU, just all day long. All day long tomorrow. You know, some days are better. You know, sometimes the NFL is lit. Sometimes college football is lit. Last week, it wasn't great college football because a lot of these big-time teams were off and it was kind of the calm before the storm. But now it's go time, man. You know what I mean? Now, like all these games, the SEC, the landscape in the SEC, normally it's just like Alabama and, oh, can anybody beat Alabama or, you know, now Georgia. But this thing's still wide open. Like you got Tennessee in the mix. You got LSU in the mix. You know, Mississippi are still in the mix right now. Mississippi only lost once, and they get Alabama next week too, right down the road. So just quickly, what I like college football, what I'm going to be betting, Air Force and Army, this game's an early game for those of us on the West Coast, 11:30 Eastern time. Army and Air Force and Army. And anytime the military academies play, Army, Air Force, Navy, any three of the combinations, we go with the under, right? It's 42-9-1 the last 52 times that they played. So the last 52 times military academy teams have played against each other, it's gone under 42 times with one push. Just a quick check right now of the Beaver and the Husky game, Pac-12 after dark. We were talking about the atmospheric river weather pattern that was in the Seattle area. And I don't know if that's what knocked their power out, but they lost their lights. So the game is taking longer than expected. Tied at 21 late. We track it. This is Sports Rage. Bring it.
Hi, I'm Kristen Bell. And if you know my husband, Dax, then you also know he loves shopping for a car. Selling a car? Not so much.
We're really doing this, huh?
Thankfully, Carvana makes it easy. Answer a few questions, put in your VIN or license, and done. We sold ours in minutes this morning, and they'll come pick it up and pay us this afternoon.
Goodbye, Truckee.
Of course, we kept the favorite.
Hello, other Truckee.
Sell your car with Carvana today. Terms and conditions apply.